wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance. I'm here in studio along with Tyler. By the way, Noah did a nice job yesterday, Tyler. You did a really good job training an intern. Usually they don't turn out. You know,
that's
like
what we want to hear.
Doug Dell or, you know.
They don't turn out.
They usually don't turn out too good. So you did a really nice job of training Noah. He was excellent yesterday. And Lance is in Indianapolis for the Combine. You're there. But Les Snead and Sean McVay are not. They're not going.
I saw that. That's a little strange. I have not seen that before. It's highly so. The Rams informed NFL on Sunday that McVay and Snead are not going to attend the combine, which is how they have operated the last few years because of COVID and things like that. They altered the way that they were doing things. Well, now they're basically saying, yeah, we're good. So they're going to send their medical staff and some scouts. When they say scouts, I mean, that's going to be, I'm sure they mean like player personnel director, some, they're the biggest big wigs outside of the GM. What I'm looking at right now, it says scouts, but it's going to be.
Are they making a statement for some reason?
No, I don't think so. It says we're always trying to build where you don't necessarily have to be there in person. Les Snead said that's a model we're trying to come up with. They're basically trying to come up with they said the rationale behind it was explained in more detail a year ago. Now that they've won the Super Bowl, they can make the argument that whatever they're doing is working. Basically, they just are not – so this is what it used to be. At the Senior Bowl where you have, your first – real look at good draftable all-star, basically an all-star game. It used to be all the coaches would come and then all the scouting personnel. Then coaches stopped coming. So because they realized we can just watch all this stuff on tape and we're going to have other opportunities to interview players. I think that there's some overlap. Now, Combine is kind of – that's interesting to me. They wouldn't do that on Combine. Yeah, you can get the results. Yeah, you can watch on TV. Yeah, you can watch on tape. But I guess what they're really doing is they're gonna have their personnel guys report back, and then they'll hyper-focus on individual visits, the 30 individual visits that teams get, and they'll really focus. I mean, they don't have, if they're going to give away some of their picks, maybe they feel like they don't need to be in place. But this is pretty unusual for a general manager not to be there. It's very strange. And today, I think it's today and tomorrow – Nick Caserio, I'm going to be doing a lot of TV today on NFL Network, so I'm not going to be down there. I was hoping to be down there for Nick Caserio today and Lovie Smith tomorrow. They address the media. Everyone's head coach and GM addresses the media, and you get to ask questions and things like that. It's pretty cool. But I'm going to be on NFL Network today on different blocks for about 4 hours talking about a lot of different stuff, so I'm going to be unable to get into
But we'll get that. Yeah, that'll be posted, and we'll have plenty of sound
we'll
on the show.
Yeah, I was just hoping to ask some questions. I have not been able to ask a question for a long time. I guess I've been able to, but I just haven't. But, and then Vanessa Richardson from Vanessa and Gallant, she is here, and I think she's got a media pass, so she's going to be there, I presume, getting some sound and also some asking some questions, so it'll be interesting to see what she brings back. But I had a discussion yesterday about 30 straight minutes with someone in the league who I never talk about, so don't think it's Ballard or something like that. This person, I saw them, said hey, and this person just reached us, hey, you're gonna be in town, he knows my dad, he said let's grab a coffee. So we walked across the street.
Coffee? Well, I'd say no immediately.
Well, I was grabbing a he doesn't drink. As a matter of fact, I ran into
you talk to him?
I went to a bar with two people who
lost
stopped
all respect
drinking
for
too.
The source.
Yeah, I went to a bar to have drinks with somebody last night and to talk a little business, and ended up that guy had stopped drinking too 2 years ago. So I was It was a weird day. But this guy, we talked for 30 minutes about the Texans. All he wanted to talk about was, so what's going on with the Texans? I think he invited me to go have a coffee. I was at an iced coffee at, you know, whatever, 4:30 in the afternoon. He's like, what did you hear about this? What did you hear? And then he told me some stuff that he heard. he believes, how about this? He believes that Nick Caserio, he said the deal was Nick Caserio was going to be the GM the year before. But then because of the tampering, they couldn't do it. He said what his belief is that the Texans, that the entire time the Corn Ferry thing was kind of a ruse, and that Cal and secretly Jack had Nick Caserio. Well, that Jack had Nick Caserio queued up and ready to go, and that he was going to come in over the top with Nick Caserio at the end anyway, regardless of anything else that happened. He was going to come in over the top because I think, you know, I think it was Jerry Reese, Omar Khan. I'm trying to remember Louis Riddick, Marvin Lewis. I'm trying to remember all the participants who came in. But regardless, what this person told me, and he's kind of connected in the league, he said what he had heard from people was that his belief is that Jack Easterby had that this was going to be Nick Caserio. He had him all queued up, ready to roll. He couldn't believe that Nick Casario's contract was negotiated by Jack Easterby. He also said this: that owner, how in the world does he allow so much dead cap money and just dead money for employees, head coaches, GMs? He goes, I have never in my life seen a situation where an owner was okay with all this money for people who didn't even work for him. He said, this is unheard of in our profession. And I said, yeah, at one point I think he was paying, you know, kind of three GMs. You had Rick Smith's contract still at the very end, Brian Gain, and then, you know, Jack and Bill O'Brien. I'm sure Bill probably gave himself a raise. He said, oh, it's not just that. He goes, dead money with players, dead money with he said, I think they had dead money with Chris Olsen where they were still paying part of his contract.
Equipment said, managers.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's what he said. He's like coaches from the other staff. He said, Lance, it's in the a ridiculous amount of millions. He said, almost no – he said, now you have David Culley and Culley staff, and this guy thinks Lovie Smith is going to get whacked. He goes, I'm telling you now, Lovie's going to be a one and done. I said, there's no way.
Chance.
I said, there's no way they can do that. I said –
there's zero chance he's one of
them. That's what I told him. I said, it's not possible. It's not possible. He wanted to know how it went down with McCown. Like, this guy wanted me to come over just because apparently around the league, the Texans are – people are so interested in how dysfunctional the Texans are. This is just a discussion point. He knew I knew some stuff, and he just wanted to get some insight into it. And because people around the league talk about what a bleep show the Texans are, it blew my mind. I flew over with Brian Gain, former he's with the Buffalo Bills now, but I flew over with Matt Bazergan. I saw Baz with the Texans. I saw some other guys I didn't know at the Texans. If you saw Matt Bazergan, he looks like he's got this chiseled, handsome bad guy in a Marvel Comics look to him. You'd know Baz if you saw him. And so Matt Bazergan and Brian Gain, who they were friends, I think Gain brought Bazergan over from the Jets. So they were talking for a while. Thomas McGahey, I saw T-Mac on the plane.
Yeah, that's my guy.
I talked T-Mac, saw John Harris. I flew over with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer and Drew Doherty and the Texans contingent. So we came over, but I didn't, you know, I spent some time having some drinks with some of the pro football focus guys who don't drink, so that was weird.
That was so what? You drink. I mean,
I'm having my gin and tonic.
If those people want to be quitters, then let them be quitters. Okay.
Yeah. Well, one guy works at a church group with people who are addicts, and
so
I'm
do
like,
I.
Ah, oh, so that's.
Well, I mean, not with people who are addicts.
He's like, when
I don't know. I might be working in a church group with people who are addicts.
His were specifically addicts who had drug and alcohol addictions that ruined their life, and he said, I just lost the taste for alcohol 2 years ago when I found out how horrific their lives were and some of the things they had done. He's like, it just made me not want to drink anymore. I said, well, that's not
okay.
That's not my friend John's.
No, well.
Man. He just calls you a quitter.
That's right. I'm going to quit, too, after tonight. It's Mardi Gras, baby.
Oh, yeah, Mardi Gras tonight is Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, don't worry. While you're there tomorrow, I'll be turning off the mic and sleeping tomorrow morning while you're talking so that I can catch up after a long day today of Mardi Gras drinking. So this is it for me.
Then get it all 6 weeks of sobriety in the afternoon and in your day.
But I'm very happy that today is Fat Tuesday so that I could get a little break. My liver is begging me to take a break.
You know you can break whenever you want to.
No, I really need God to help me on this one. This is God intervening in my life.
You know, you can take weekly breaks, you can take daily breaks, monthly breaks, annual breaks if you want. That's not an easy one, I'm sure, but you can break when you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for Fat Tuesday to be your like jump off point. Tomorrow.
I'm not a quitter, Lance, like some people. Okay. Go have coffee somewhere. Okay, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, that sounds like a good time. Let's go meet for coffee.
The next time
you hear me say that, it'll be the first time.
No, yeah. Well, except this next.
No, I'll still meet at a bar and I'll drink some Sprite or some, you know, whatever. why would
You're such a loser. That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth.
That's
oh my God, I'll have a Sprite.
So speaking of dead money.
Yeah, so we're embarrassed here apparently because everyone is looking at hey, tell me about the Texans.
Hey.
What a weird thing, right? What's going on over there? I'm like,
So
I'll tell you what I've heard if you want. Oh, and I also heard that Jamie Roots shut it down because he was so upset with how the reason Jamie left, it wasn't because Jack got him, is because Jamie was so disappointed with how the hiring thing went, where they just basically just faded Corn Ferry, and Jamie's like, that's it, I'm out of here.
No.
I can't deal with this.
Well,
anymore.
How dysfunctional was that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're the president of the organization since its inception, and you have zero respect from that owner.
He thinks they clowned him
and
lied to him behind his back. He's
they
like,
they absolutely did. Jack Easterby made an end run, and you know what? I could certainly see where Jamie, who is got to be proud, and oh, by the way.
He was the president of the Texans.
He was the president. Yeah, Jamie Roots, for those of you that don't know, he was the longtime 20-year president. But he was the guy, I think, that Bob McNair was actually wanting Jamie to take over as the CEO of the organization. Unfortunately, it turned because of the bloodline, it had to go to Cal. But look at with Cal taking over, what's happened with this organization? Bob was right. It should have been Jamie Roots who took this thing over. And you know what? It wouldn't be dysfunctional. It wouldn't be a mess. It wouldn't be the laughing stock of the league that it is now. Had Jamie Roots taken it over instead of Cal, it would actually be a functioning organization right now, as opposed to what it is. It's a joke. And speaking of which, there is a Battle Red blog today talking about just releasing Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about that. Speaking of dead money, we'll talk about that on the other side. But right now, what we're talking about is HRP. I got an invite. They every year they put on a party for all of their clients, and they have everybody over. And I saw their building. It's a relatively new building, but the technology, this place is unbelievable. There's a lot smarter people than me that were able to put this thing together. Well, a lot smarter than me that were able to put this thing together. But when you go and you see their computer system and how technologically advanced this company is, it is unbelievable. And that, okay, well, it's a company that does payroll for thousands and thousands of employees for different businesses, not only here in Texas, but all over the world. And if you have branches in different states, that's not a problem. They are so technologically advanced. They know the rules and the laws and everything that happens. Obviously, Texas is different with no state income tax, but other states do have income tax, and that's not a problem for them. They know all of these things, and they know the Affordable Care Act, and they know how to get you all your small business loans and the PPP and everything else that went along with the pandemic. These people are unbelievable at how good they are at the HR and payroll. So if you're looking for a company that just doesn't make mistakes, a company that has been perfect with us, and they will be perfect with you, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Oh, no.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Kenneth L. wrote an article on Battle Red Blog. It's a Texan site. It's for, SB Nation. And he makes the case that, you know, what one of the options that we're just not looking at is Deshaun Watson just getting cut. And it would be, here's the deal, is the new league year starts on March 16th. That's just 15 days away. Yeah, that's 15 days away. Today's March 1st. So 15 days from now, the new league year starts, which, if Deshaun Watson is still a Houston Texan, $35 million is guaranteed. That becomes fully guaranteed on March 16th. So the option is cut him before March 16th. You will have a flood of money, dead cap money, hit you. But you will relieve yourself of all, first of all, you don't have to pay him the $35 million. He'll probably be able to, unless you sue him for the $27 million that he got as a signing bonus, Unless you sue him for that money, he would probably keep that. And he could go to whatever team he wants. He can go to whatever team he wants right now since he has a no-trade clause. But you would be rid of Deshaun Watson. You would also be rid of all of the draft compensation that you could get from Deshaun Watson as well.
This is however. I don't understand.
However,
you've dealt with people also sending you that on Twitter, and I've seen you go at them.
Yes. No. I absolutely don't think that that's going to be the case. One thing that they don't take into account here is the commissioner's exempt list. I do not believe that the Texans are going to pay Deshaun $35 million this year and him just sit like he did last year. That's just not an option.
No.
If that is the case, Cal, with all his power in the league and all his cachet, would have to go to the commissioner and say, you have got to put him on the exempt list. Because by then, too, by the way, we will have, criminal. If we do have criminal charges pending, then the league can step in and put him on the exempt list. If we don't have criminal charges pending, if they say that they're not going to charge him criminally, then you can trade him. You'll have the ability to trade him because teams will want him. Even if he still has these civil cases, which can be, by the way, I agree with Peter King what he wrote yesterday. Why has Deshaun's team done absolutely nothing to lower the number of these civil suits. Why? Why has there absolutely no progress been made whatsoever? I mean, maybe there's been progress, but that nothing has been resolved since day one is just ridiculous. And I believe that those could obviously, and all it takes is money. Just give them some money, Deshaun, and move on. He has been reticent to give them any money for all of this time since the beginning, which was a huge mistake. If he'd have just paid off that first woman, none of this possibly could be happening right now, but he didn't, and here's where we are. But I do believe that this April 1st number that Rusty has put on the criminal charges is a huge, huge date for this organization, because either the criminal charges go away soon and before the draft and he is tradable now, or criminal charges come and you can get him on the exempt list. If they certainly aren't going to be, criminal charges aren't going to be resolved by the start of the football season, that's for sure, right?
No. You mean if there are criminal charges?
If there are criminal charges.
Yeah, no. We know how.
And then he can go on the exempt list.
Yeah, this is it's a mess, but one thing that you cannot do to me is cut him. And the cut thing is because you're worried about the money for – and I get it. I just got done doing a segment about how people in the NFL are like, how in the world can one owner fade that much dead money, real cash, as much as he does? And I could see where people would say, now you're going to have the owner fade Deshaun Watson's contract potentially? Well, there are mechanisms in place, as you mentioned, where you can go after that money. You don't have to just sit there. Listen, I know what people will tell you, and I know there's a movement afoot for everyone to get as much money as possible without doing their living up to their contract. That's not real life, and you need to understand that Deshaun Watson has broken his contract potentially, and the Texans have every right to go after him for breach of contract by every means that they have necessary. But they have to do certain things, like force him to play. There's certain things that they have to do. But here's what I just can't listen to. Just cut him. It's just not worth the hassle. What hassle? What hassle? People talking about it all the time on radio and TV. What hassle are they currently taking on? He's not their quarterback. It's not delaying their rebuild. They've got a different quarterback now. He's not in their future. There is no hassle. You just don't like the fact that he's connected. And I get it. I understand when people bring it up. But the fact is, if you have something that is of great value, you don't throw it outside in the trash, because it's taking up space in your room, in your house. You don't have an apartment. You say, man, this is just taking up too much space. I'm going to throw this $7,000 piece of furniture out. No, you don't do it. You figure it out. And that's what the Texans have to figure out. You don't just throw Deshaun Watson on the trash heap when he has value. And for those who don't think he has value, you have not followed anything historically ever in any sport. Good players have value. No matter what they have done, when the smoke clears, good players 100% of the time have value. 100% of the time. You don't throw away your opportunity to rebuild your team with your greatest commodity that happens to be right now in a world of crap. You just have to wait it out. But there's nothing, John, that's the Texans are not altering what they have to do, because, man, this Deshaun stuff is just getting to be such a hassle for us. What hassle? Their hassle is they got to pay him money. That's the hassle, but only during the season, not outside of the season.
No. No, and you know what, Nick? They played it right. Cutting him has never been an option. Never been an option. I mean, I could certainly see where you just say, you know what, we're done with this. But that would be just another incompetent football move by the most incompetent organization. I do believe this, that they're not going to be incompetent anymore with Nick Caserio running. I don't believe that they'll make the same Bill O'Brien just stupid, hateful moves because he's just pissed off today. I don't believe that they're going to just make just the dumbest trades. I just can't believe that they're going to be that incompetent. I've got a little bit of faith that Nick Caserio did a decent job drafting. Now with a full draft and the possibility of having, he better be pretty good at drafting when he gets all these Deshaun picks. He better be really, really good. But I do believe that Nick Caserio is going to do a decent job. I do.
I hope so. But to the point that we're discussing right now, just specifically, you cannot. Your one big opportunity to move Deshaun Watson, you sit and you wait and you hold, and it's a pain in the butt. Now, the question is not do you release him. The question is, if someone were to make you an offer over the next 3 months, do you take 70 cents on the dollar now, because previously you would not have. Do you do that now? I think that's a viable question.
Well, I don't believe anybody will make you an offer until criminal charges. No,
I would agree.
No one can. You're losing. You're gonna destroy your career as a GM if he has criminal charges here and can't play. You're gonna destroy your career.
Yeah. Well, not if you've moved him. The other team will destroy.
That's what I'm
career.
Saying. That general.
Oh
manager,
yeah.
That
yeah,
general
yeah.
manager.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So. I don't believe that there's any chance. So basketball, we didn't have any last night, but we got some. There was plenty of good basketball. And oh, by the way, it just getting to Kyrie Irving thing just can't be dumber. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, Lance and I are both talking about Aqueduct Plumbing. Billy and Mary and the great people over there at Aqueduct Plumbing. Here's the deal is, you don't always need a plumber, but when you start to hear noises when you turn on your faucet or your water is not getting, or you're running out of hot water, or you got a leak somewhere, and you're like, "What's happening to our ceiling here? Look, it's discolored. Something is wrong. Something is happening, and you need Aqueduct Plumbing." If you have old pipes, you know what? They are unbelievably good at not only quickly but affordably changing those pipes, Lance.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, number one, you want somebody who's going to be honest with you. But number two, you want somebody who's going to do the work efficiently, quickly, and at a good price. And that's the other reason. A, you can trust them, and B, there are all of the above. Whether it's a small leak, whether it's something that's behind the wall of the shower, I've had to deal with that before, or whether it's a major situation where you've got leakage underneath your house, you need to get that corrected. Because if you don't, I can tell you from personal experience at my home, that was an issue that we didn't find out until too late. So make sure that you have the experts with the hydrostatic testing and all of the different services they do. As a matter of fact, go to thebenchplumbing.com and go look up the services they offer, and then put the phone number in your phone. Thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I mean, I love New York City. No, I don't. I can't stand New York City, if you want to know the truth. It can't be dumber. New York City cannot be dumber. So Kyrie Irving can't play at Barclays Center. He can go and watch the game as a spectator, though. He cannot play. Every visiting team that comes in there, they can play, vaccine or no vaccine. But if you're a net or a Nick, you can't play if you're unvaccinated.
Yeah, it's the craziest thing.
It's so stupid.
It's the most random thing I've ever seen.
So here is their mayor, Eric Adams. He was on CNBC with somebody, and Jim Cramer, the Mad Money guy. Yeah. He was on, and here's them talking about this situation with Kyrie Irving.
Listen, I want Kyrie on the court. You know, I would do anything to get that ring. so badly I want it. But there's so much at stake here. And, you know, I spoke with the owner of the team. We want to find a way to get Kyrie on the court. But this is a bigger issue. I can't have my city closed down again. And it would send the wrong message just to have an exception for one player. When we're telling a countless number of New York City employees, if you don't follow the rules, you won't be able to be employed. That's not the right thing.
But the away teams have a considered advantage because they could have unvaccinated. They're allowed to play. That doesn't seem right.
Makes no sense. And I don't know who thought of putting such a ridiculous rule in place of away teams can come and play when our team's from New York. But these are the rules, and I have to follow the rules. If I don't, I'm going to open the door that is sending a wrong message to everyday employees.
Absolutely.
Businesses have their vaccine mandates. City employees have their vaccine mandates. I have to follow the rules. And trust me, I want Kyrie on the court. We are here right now opening our city because of vaccine mandates. We can't close down again.
Okay.
I can't have my city closed down again.
I agree with him there, but it just can't be. He says, I don't know.
No, you agree with him on the other one. This is stupid.
Who came up with that rule? Well, find out who came. What do you mean you don't know who came up with that rule? Find out who came up with that rule and change that rule. I mean, if our employees can't work, what about the employees of other people that are coming in here or spectators? So Kyrie Irving can go to a game there. Mm-hmm. And unvaccinated, watch the game from the first row, but he can't play in it, which is further away from all the other people.
You know what's funny is you're just finding out about this.
No, I've been knowing about this.
No, well, this is why I was saying. I think a lot of people. I thought the vaccine rule. I did not know at one point that it didn't apply to opposing teams. I thought it was everybody who came in and was vaccinated because you can't go to a restaurant without a vaccine card. You can't go to probably you can't do all that stuff. I didn't find out until much later that, wait a minute, players for other teams can come in and play? Road players can come in and play?
Can't be dumber.
But the home team can't? No, it can't be. Eric Andrews is right.
Adams.
Eric Adams. he's right. You know, he's a former cop, like in a New Yorker, as you can tell by the accent, and a guy who wants the team to win. He grew up a Nets fan. He's like, I just want him to win. I want him to win. This is dumb. The other day he had a comment about, he's like, we got to get back to normal. We got to get this taken care of. Their mask mandates and their vaccine mandates are coming to an end in March. I want to say it's March 13th. So now Kyrie Irving is going to, this is going to, now individual businesses can make decisions. The Nets, this is, the Nets are going, you're going to find it. So Broadway is going to be closed until at least April 30th to anyone who doesn't have a vaccine card. That's the way it's going to be. I was reading up on this because my wife has, there's a reason family-wise that I was reading up on it. So April 30th is when Broadway will reassess whether or not they force you to have vaccine cards. It's going to be individual businesses can still require that. And so they don't know if Kyrie will be able to play at home games. My guess is, though, John, Kyrie will be playing home games starting in mid-March. That's my guess. And that'll be a big deal. Now, maybe I'm wrong here. Did you hear any of Max and Jay Will and Keyshawn before our show? I was listening to some, and they were like discussing who the most. They had something called box office. Like, who are the box office guys? Who are the guys that you would pay money to see? And Steph was number one, and I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
They said Kyrie is number two.
Oh no.
And okay, so are we out of touch here because we are not the hardcore NBA? Every other team other than Rockets, like, is that what the general fan, is there always been this love for Kyrie? I know Kyrie was a guy that a lot of people loved. Is that really, I mean, Max is a New Yorker. Kyrie? Is Kyrie really somebody that you just can't wait to go see? I think we might be sleeping on Kyrie's appeal a little bit, because I do think there is some love for Kyrie.
Well, do you know what, he's been in movies, you know, he does have appeal outside of the NBA, right? With his Uncle Buck movie or whatever it's called. I don't know.
What's Uncle it? Drew. Uncle Drew. Buck was John Candy.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. I you could see how I could
Uncle, Uncle Drew used to hoop people up at the park.
Yeah.
Uncle Drew was good stuff.
Well, whatever.
My kids watched Uncle
so
Drew.
So was Uncle Buck. Until,
no, Uncle
you know,
Buck did
until he died. But
Uncle Buck did nothing.
But I don't. Okay. So, okay. Ja just scored 50 last night, right? Mm-hmm. After he scored 46, he scored 50. Even, I don't know.
To
as
me,
casual
he's
NBA,
ahead.
If you're an NBA fan, you got to really, really, really be excited about Ja.
100%. And Zion Williamson. Those are the guys. Like, you can
Zion.
See Zion.
Well,
yeah, at the,
you can
at
see
the,
Zion at McDonald's, at but you can't see him on a court ever.
That's what I'm saying, though. You could see him, though. That's really cool. Or at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Like, that's amazing that you can see a professional player play, you know, do something.
No,
like
Ja's different. Ja's actually on the court and he's doing things. And listen, I heard their discussion this morning as well. Embiid's the favorite for MVP, right? They're so off on Jokic. They're so off on him. They're like, oh, he's just a big lumbering white guy. That dude is like a point center. He's one of the best passers in the game. That dude is unbelievable, but because he's a white dude, he's clumsy. He doesn't look like, you know,
well,
an NBA player.
I mean, he's not an explosive athlete.
No,
I
he's
think
not
the
explosive,
point.
But goodness
Well, that's
gracious.
The point.
He's,
are you paying tickets for
unbelievable, though.
No one. I don't think the argument was he wasn't unbelievable. I was listening to it. They didn't say he wasn't an unbelievable
player.
Saying,
I don't think you were there. Earlier, they had the MVP discussion, and they just dismiss him. They
no,
just
you
dismiss
should,
him.
You should never dismiss him because his impact on the game is substantial. Now, he's not a guy I would buy a ticket for.
Well, there is that.
The passer out of the high post? What am I?
Well, there is that.
Dave Corzine, I mean, I'm not going to miss out on my chance to see
he's
Alvin
not,
Adams.
Hold on. This dude is doing things that nobody else is. Okay?
He's a terrific player, but you don't like a sweet passing big man. Like, did you see, guys, we got to get our tickets to watch Arvydas Sabonis throw those sweet bounce passes on backdoor cuts.
No, but when was
no
the last
one
time? Okay,
no one
when
ever.
Was the last time you saw 25.5, 13.8, and 8? I mean, out of a center.
No, he's a legitimate candidate for the MVP. I don't care what they say. Look, I don't put a lot of stock in that show before ours. It's a pretty biased show. But, no, he's obviously – he and Embiid – this is the most wide-open MVP race that I can recall in the – when I say wide open, what they're right now, Ja Morant, Joel Embiid, Luka, because Luka's coming now. Luka's going to get in the conversation now. Jokic and
Ja.
I'm missing a pick right now.
DeRozan. DeRozan.
Well, yeah, DeMar DeRozan deserves to
DeMar
be there.
DeMar DeRozan deserves a lot of love right now.
I feel like we should, yeah. No question. No, yeah, absolutely. I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, and him. But no, you're right. DeMar DeRozan is a very, very good player on a very good team. So there's five legitimate candidates right now. I think you had the 1 year with Kawhi, James, and Russell Westbrook. Isn't that crazy how the mighty have fallen? It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. Kawhi can't play. And here's just an aside. So when I'm watching, I said yesterday, I started watching. My kids were watching. They wanted to rewatch The Last Dance, so I'm watching it with them. And, you know, Jordan was dying to come back and play. And he went through the whole whenever he hurt his foot, his second year in the league, and how the Bulls would only let him play 14 minutes, 7 minutes, one half, 7 minutes, a second, Krause's. And there was a chance Jordan could – there was only a 10% chance that Jordan's career could end if he re-injured the foot whenever he was – you know, whenever he tried to play, when he came back initially that year without it healing longer. And Jordan was talking about his desire to get out there and play and all this stuff. And I remember when we used to look at Kawhi Leonard as this absolute killer, you know, like he had the mentality – one of the strangest juxtapositions that I've seen in sports is Kawhi Leonard's demeanor as a player on the court, his player when the game is in action. Like, he's this terrific player, right? He's got this great mentality, a killer mentality. He's a hard competitor. But it's just so weird to see that he's also that other guy who just kind of – he quit on a season with the Spurs. Like, I don't know. There's something that doesn't seem to match personality-wise.
He's an unbelievable player. Where is he? He's never around.
Yeah, I know he's hurt, but
I know he is, but that, you know, hey, Markelle Fultz made, I mean, he was after the game, he had 10 points and played 16 minutes, and it's like, that guy was a number one overall pick. Where's he been? He's never, Kawhi, he's out of sight, out of mind. It's just like, holy crap, Kawhi is still around? He's still alive? I haven't seen him in forever, it feels like. And you know what? Wherever he goes next year or whatever happens with him next year, they're going to be a contender because he's that good. When he actually is around, he's like, now, he's not Ben Simmons. Well, he kind of quit on his team too. A little bit. But that's today. You don't have to play anymore, Lance. You just don't. Tons. Huh. Okay, speaking of which, when we come back, we'll talk about this Tunsil thing. Aaron Rice from The Athletic was on with the afternoon guys, and he had some interesting stuff to say. And Lance is at the combine, so we'll talk about some tackles as well, and that possibility, and what are the possibilities of the Texans, even if they have Tunsil, well, you know, is if Evan Neal is sitting there. Want to shout out to my guys Maximus and Luca, who missed me last week, by the way. They missed me last week on the show. And they're the only ones. That's why I'm shouting out. I've not heard one person. Oh, John, glad you're back. Well, you know what? Those guys are glad I'm back, so they get a shout out here. Maximus and Luca. Way to go.
We're not sure what you've been involved with, to be honest with you.
What are you talking about?
We just don't know what you've been involved with.
Well, I obviously wasn't involved with Russia, okay?
You went to Eastern Europe and a war broke out.
Yeah, but...
that's all we know at this point.
But let me just say I'm a freedom fighter, if anything, okay? So,
are you?
Yeah. Okay, I'm certainly not on the side of Russia because I don't want to be hacked by those people that are just going to hack Russia and destroy them. I have no part of that whatsoever. Actually, I was in my native Czech Republic, and you know what? It's all good on that front. So we're good. We're good right now. 743 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk about this Tunsil thing on the other side. Don't go.
JG goes to Prague once and now he's Team Jokic. Hashtag racist.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait! The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on anything that we've talked about? You're more than welcome to get in here at any time. Yesterday, Aaron Reese.
Yeah.
Aaron Reese from The Athletic. He's been on with us before. He covers the Texans he should be there, I would imagine, right, Lance? I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely be here to interview.
Lance is in Indianapolis, yeah. And the Texans will talk today, right? So we'll hear.
I think Nick Caserio is today and Lovie Smith is tomorrow, if I remember correctly.
Are they going in order of how bad you are? So the Rams will be last, and then it'll be, you know.
Is that what they're doing?
No, I don't know. But if the Texans are going first, then I would imagine you're going from bad to best. I would imagine from worst to best. That's what I'm imagining.
Okay.
Anyway, so they're going to talk today, and one of the things that Aaron Reese talked about was Tunsil yesterday, and he had some interesting takes on the Tunsil situation and where the Texans are with him.
The vibe I got at the end of the season was that, you know, they wouldn't necessarily trade him, that they, you know, not in the business of necessarily getting rid of good players, to get rid of them. But that thing is a really interesting question because, to me, there's no wrong answer. I think if you wanted to argue that, well, you don't have the quarterback and you need to accumulate picks in order to get the quarterback, or he's not really fitting on your timeline, whatever, I could get it. But it also, if you say, well, this guy can be really good for a long time, and, you know, it's the point that they might have another quarterback and he's still playing at a pretty high level and you need that sort of guy to protect the young quarterback, then that's understandable too.
Yeah. Okay. But, okay. So he went on to say that even if you still, you got more, right? You got another one. Here, play this one too, and then we'll get to the discussion.
I think whatever they do, I don't know if it necessarily is going to impact whether they should draft an offensive lineman. I think one thing that makes Evan Neal, or both those tackles that are offensive linemen at the top of the board, so attractive is seemingly that they could play guard or play tackle. They both have track records in doing both. And so I think even if they keep Tunsil, if they move Tyce Howard back to tackle, if they keep him at guard, I think that they have some optionality there. What's clear, though, is that whatever they do, kind of running it back with a lot of the same group is just not really going to cut it. I mean, this offensive line was near the bottom of the league in pass protection and run blocking by pretty much every metric.
So, okay, they still have Tunsil. They plan on keeping Tunsil. Do you draft Evan Neal?
Yeah, I mean, if Evan Neal or Aiden Hutchinson's on the board, you run the card up and that's that. If they're not, then you take a trade back with either the Jets or the Giants, because those two, I think, are going to be racing for Ike Ekwonu. He's nicknamed after Icky Woods. That's why they call him Icky. And he's a tackle who can play guard from North Carolina State. I would race to trade back and pick up picks. I have no interest in drafting Kayvon Thibodeau from all the stuff I'm hearing. And I think that's too early to draft a cornerback or Kyle Hamilton. Just a little bit too early. So if I could move back, I would do that. So to me, it goes in this order. It goes Aiden Hutchinson, then Evan Neal, then trade back. Those are my three scenarios for pick three, and I probably don't. And the Texans can get – I do think the Texans actually, John, I think the number three position is valuable because there's beginning to be a delineation between Charles Cross and Trevor Penning, and, you know, those are the next two offensive linemen up, the tackles. Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa, Charles Cross from Mississippi State, who I think may fall a little bit. Trevor Penning may rise a little bit, actually a lot bit. And I think that there is going to be a race for that second tackle, Ike Ekwonu, and that's why the Texans at number three, they could draft him, but I would use that pick personally to move back in the draft and pick up additional picks is what I would do, because I think that's going to be the valuable pick as number three. So I actually, now that things are playing out, I thought it was going to kind of be a dead pick, but now I'm looking at it and I think, ooh, this pick could have some life from a trade back standpoint.
So they're not moving up all that much to grab Ekwonu.
No, and that's why the Texans could still
– okay,
the Texans could flip-flop. So here's the thing. the Jets need a tackle, right? They need to tackle on a guard. They need an offensive lineman. And the Giants are right behind them at five. So in my last mock draft, I projected the Texans and Giants flip-flopping five and three.
What would you get?
You know, you'd probably get a second. You'd probably get a second for that flip. That's what you historically get, yeah. I mean, you might only get a third, but it depends on what you negotiate. You might get their second and they get your third.
Boy, if you could get a second and move back to fifth and still get Hamilton or whatever, Cross or whatever, I mean, that would be a huge, huge win.
You know, you might move all the way back from three to, for the Giants, for example, from three to seven. So then you're at number seven. Now you're probably looking at cornerback or maybe Thibodeau if you're okay with him.
Yeah. I mean,
but you could move back to seven and for sure lock in a much higher
Stingley
pick.
Might still be there at seven.
Oh, 100%. I think Stingley is going to be there. He's not working out at the combine because of a Liz Frank injury in his foot. He's not going to work out at the combine. So you're going to have to wait, if at all, to see Stingley.
How about
work
the Jets' 10th pick?
Yeah, I mean, that's getting a little that's getting a little further out there. But if you're willing to give a future first, yeah, absolutely. I'd be willing to move back there and take.
Oh, I don't think they do that because they're picking fourth. I doubt they do that.
You have to give a future for you have to give us next year's first rounder if you want to move up from 10 to 4. That's or 10 to 3. That's just going to be the that's what the value is going to be. You got to give a first to move up that many spots to move from that's why the Giants moving 5 to 3 not nearly as much, but that's why I think that's going to be valuable. And I keep targeting Jets and Giants because they have some of the same offensive line needs. That's why I think, and they've got 2 first round picks. The Lions have 2 first round picks, but they're not going to trade from. They've got the Rams pick at the very back end, and then they've got their own at number 2. They're not going to be players. The Eagles have 3 different picks in the first round, so the Eagles could be players in terms of moving.
Is there somebody there, though, that you got? I mean, that third pick, if it's not Hutchinson, if it's not Neal, is there somebody that you really have to have if you're the Eagles that I have to get up to 3?
No, but you have to look at the position. What position do you want? And the position is tackle. It's not going to be cornerback. It might be Kyle Hamilton for a team that is already a good team that wants to add a culture guy who also has the ability. I mean, this is 6'3", 6'4", 220-something pound safety who's going to get to about 230, who can cover tight ends, can play single high safety up high in range. He's got rare physical tools and measurables. He's a guy that you might target, but only if you have a lot of the pieces in place and you think he's the tumbler that opens the safe for you. You know, that's so. I don't know that that's the Eagles. You're right. I think more than likely you want a team that's kind of desperate who has 2 first-round picks in the Giants and the Jets, who might say, look, we'll give you – they're not going to flip-flop both first. That's not going to happen. But what you could do is say, look, we'll flip-flop from 3 to 5. We'll flip-flop from 3 to 7, and we want a future – we want either picks in this draft or future, maybe a future first. But we'll do that for you if you're really desperate for an offensive tackle. So that's something to keep your eyes on. The Texans need somebody to get red hot in the process, whether it's Sauce Gardner or Kyle Hamilton. It's just not going to be a quarterback. That's the problem, John. The Texans have a number 3 pick, and usually you get the Lions, the Lions ransom, or you get the huge ransom, the King's ransom, when you have people.
Or the Lions ransom, whatever.
Yeah, Lions ransom.
It's the king of the jungle.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. Right. But when you're moving up to get a quarterback, that's usually where all the picks come in. And
yeah,
unfortunately, there's just not one.
How about
there's
that?
There's not a top 3
again,
pick.
When the Texans are picking number 1, it's David Carr. When the Texans are picking number 1, it's Mario Williams, and it's
Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney. And when they're 3rd, there's no quarterback. It's just this organization. It's just speaking of quarterback, looks like the Browns are saying they're planning to stick with Baker Mayfield.
Why would you not? I'd give him as much money as possible too. Give him his bag.
No, I don't know that.
Load up the bag as full as you can get it. Let it some of it spill out over the top and say we're rocking with you, babe. We're rocking with you, Baker.
Well, he's going to make 18.86.
You're talking about the year 5 deal.
It's the 5th year of this deal.
Yeah,
I'm thinking they're going to Dak the Kirk Cousins route. With
yes,
him.
You have to from now on with every quarterback. It wouldn't be crazy for the Cardinals to be doing that with Kyler either.
Oh no, the court of public opinion is squarely now, and that letter yesterday, we talked some about it, but the more I was, the day went on, I was like, the more ridiculous, for those of you that haven't heard, Eric Burkhart is his agent. He put out a letter to the fans about how Kyler Murray has to get paid. Why? Who? What is? Since when does the court? Oh, the Cardinals aren't all in if they don't give him unbelievable money, everybody. So let's all get on board here. What? Why does if I'm Kyler, I'm like, you just made me look like an idiot. Okay, why are we sending letters to fans about my contract negotiations with the Cardinals? Why would you do that, Eric? Can somebody explain that to me?
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, you know, it's to create, people think this is the new thing, because I've noticed it. I've had this conversation for a couple of things. People, there's this weird, like, for example, when we were talking about the fact the Texans can't do this because they will look bad if they do something. What will happen?
Texans have never been afraid of that.
Here's the thing. Well, what will happen to if this is the thing? I was asked this if yesterday, but the same guy I had that conversation with yesterday over coffee. He said, "Do you think Nick Caserio gets to a third coach?" I said, "Dude, gets to a third coach." I said, "Look who the owner is. This public person, because what are the public? I mean, can you imagine what people are going to say? I don't care what people are going to say.
They don't care.
Nor does Cal, nor does Jack. It doesn't matter. The idea that public perception is somehow this defining feature, that Eric Burkhart thinks that going to the public with this long post to show, here's the reasons that this isn't a talk show. I think we've fallen into a trap that because there's a million talk shows on ESPN and Fox Sports and radio, that somehow these things are quote-unquote adjudicated in the public court of opinion. It's not. Teams don't. The Cardinals fans, you are miscalculating if you think Cardinals fans are 100% on board with Kyler Murray. They're not. A lot of them think he's petulant.
I will say this, and we'll do it on the other side.
And did you see Lamont said, "This is Kyler Murray," and it's a picture of Veruca Salt. She was the one in Willy Wonka who was always complaining, "I'm going to get done here, and my daddy said this." And he had the guys opening up the chocolate bars looking for the golden ticket for where he paid them to do that.
No, I didn't see that.
Yes, Lamont. And then I retweeted it, and I said, "What? Kyler's Veruca Salt," and then people apparently seem to like that.
I don't get that at all.
Come on.
Why would we do something like that about
Lamont.
Kyler?
That's not right.
That little fella. Leave him alone.
Well,
that's bullying. 759 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Little fella? Well, are you supposed to say little fella?
He's a little fella. I didn't call him a little person. He's a little fella.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, that big fella. I'm that big fella, Kyler, who said no one ever.
Right.
That big guy.
That big fella.
Big fella. No. 759 ESPN 97.5. Hey, March is here. March Madness. Begun. Time to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. All right? Predict winners in each round of the MyBookie bracket contest for a chance to win a Bitcoin. Do you know what a Bitcoin is worth these days? Less than it was about a month ago, but it's still worth a lot. What about a Doodle NFT? It's currently valued at over $50,000 and over $100,000 more in cash prizes. Whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today with MyBookie. Use promo code BET975 to make your first deposit, earning a free entry into the My Bracket Contest. Selections for the bracket will officially begin on March 13th and close March 17th at 12 p.m. So make sure you get your deposit in now with Bet975 to secure that free entry. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. You win, you get paid at mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.